your life today.
A historic moment tonight. The Berlin Wall can no longer contain the East German people. The wall, as we have known it since 1961, a sinister symbol of oppression, the wall has changed dramatically tonight.
I'm Peter Jennings in New York. Just a short while ago, astonishing news from East Germany, where the East German authorities have said, in essence, that the Berlin Wall doesn't mean anything anymore. The wall that the East Germans put up in 1961 to keep its people in will now be breached by anybody one who wants to leave.
In Berlin, this is definitely the end place to be. The sights and sounds, all the joy and the history in front of the Brandenburg Gate, with West Berliners partying literally on top of the Berlin Wall in front of the gate.
Yes, that was what it sounded like 20 years ago today. The big three on television network news, Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, and, of course, Dan Rather, their description of what happened as the wall fell. What a historic time. Who knew when the dominoes started to collapse, actually what it meant to so many people. Some 20 years ago. Huge celebrations in that 20 years of unity. Thousands lining up all over just to watch the mile-long route. Speaking of dominoes, that's what they did. They had dominoes decorated all along what would have been the route of the old wall, and they just toppled them over one by one. It's sort of that domino reaction effect as you drop the dominoes to remember the crashing down and the fall of communism, the communist countries in Eastern Europe. And there were some moving speeches and events, and there were people from all over the world that came to watch, including former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, who wasn't there, was the president of the United States, Barack Obama. There was a videotape message, of course, from the president, and former President Clinton was there. He paid tribute to Germany and other countries who really, let's face it, shed those communist binds. And it, as we look back to that moment, how much has changed when you think of the fall of those bricks and what it meant to the people on the other side. I went back and looked up a couple of things about the wall. And in doing that, I can remember hearing stories of people who were shot, killed, trying to escape, trying to get over to the other side. You know, 136 people were actually slaughtered trying to make their way across the border. The wall represented, no doubt, a huge split in the ideologies between the communist East and, of course, the democratic West. And it wasn't just a single country, but as I said, Europe. We're talking about all of Europe. And now how much has changed two decades later? And what is it that we fear now at this point? You know, it was communism. It was good versus evil. Now there's a different kind of evil that we're battling, that we talk about constantly on America Tonight, obviously, especially in light of things that have happened recently here in this country with homegrown terrorists and then fighting in Afghanistan, the Taliban, and trying to disorganize and break up Al-Qaeda the best that we can, the elusive enemy called terrorism these days. And think back to that moment when the wall fell and what that was like. Imagine some of the people probably in their late 60s and 70s who can probably relive in their minds being, you know, in their 30s, 40s, and watching that come down, and the difference between the East and the West, and how much has changed as a result of that. We'll talk more about the wall and the wall falling and what's happened and what's happened since then, some of the new barriers as a result, obviously. But the Berlin Wall, how big was that? And, of course, Reagan's role in the diplomacy of all that. I would say that is a key event in world history. When we go back and look and we rank events, it certainly is up there, probably in the top 10, no doubt. Coming up a little bit later on the show, we're also going to talk about the D.C. sniper who picked off 10 people. I was living back east then, And I can remember being in Maryland and, of course, Maryland, Virginia, and D.C., the three areas where John Allen Muhammad hit. He did not get a stay of execution, of course, lobbying the Supreme Court, his lawyers. He'll be executed tomorrow night. Again, he'll be executed tomorrow night. We know what that entails. There'll be some family members on hand to watch as they mix the chemicals, etc., to end his life. It was the strangest thing. And when we talk about Major Hassan and what happened last week at Fort Hood, it's that question of why. Why did it happen? What was the motivation? Was it terrorism? Was it a combination of him not wanting to be shipped overseas? Well, John Allen Muhammad, as I said, I can remember living through that and how scary it was in that northeast quarter at the time. People talking about going to D.C., not going to D.C., trips canceled, all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, what was the motivation behind what he did? And still, to this day, we don't know what that motivation was. Some people think he was mentally ill. His wife, his former wife, thinks that he wanted to kill her, and then it got out of control, and that's what that was all about. But still, the motivating factor behind what he did, not known. So the D.C. sniper, we'll talk about those events, too. Currently, they're battening the hatches in some areas along that Gulf Coast region. And why? Because Hurricane Ida is headed in that direction. And, of course, when you talk about the storm and the storm outlook, the scary thing is you think of the possibility of the floods, and anybody who's grown up there who's been in that area, I think they get hurricane fatigue. So what happens is you huddle around the TV sets or the radio to get the very, very latest. Is the storm weakening? Is it coming a little bit closer to this region? It looks like right now, most likely Pensacola would be the landing spot for that storm Ida. However, the very, very latest that I have is it is weakening a little bit, and it should hit near Pensacola, Mobile, Alabama early on Tuesday. And at one time they were saying probably Category 2 hurricane, eased up a little bit. Let's hope that holds. 70-mile-an-hour winds versus 100-mile-an-hour winds. It's expected to decrease as it gets closer to landfall. As we know, the Louisiana governor declared a state of emergency ahead of the game, thinking that the National Guard would be readied. There were a couple of things that have already happened. The U.S. Coast Guard, one of their helicopters had to get two workers from an oil rig because it was slammed by the damage about 80 miles or so south of New Orleans. And there are, of course, those horrible mudslide deaths that have happened in El Salvador, and that's pinned on Ida as well. But, again, the concern going from El Salvador into the United States and the body of water in between, they've actually closed the port of Mobile, so stopping traffic on Mobile Bay and closing schools and offices, you know, government offices and whatnot, just to be sure, because it's the floods that they're very, very worried about. Coming up on the flip side, bullying. Are we a culture of mean now? Barbara Colarosa will join us to talk about being bullied, the bully themselves, and the bystander. What's it all mean for kids growing up these days from kindergarten through high school? Stay with us.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to Liquid Zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free Liquid Zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid Zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. problem. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Unfortunately, we're hearing more sad stories about kids being bullied in school, and what does that mean, and how can you take a stand and help your children? What do you tell them to do as an adult, and how do we stop this cycle? It's just darn mean in so many areas. We've seen some of the videos, the beatings in school buses to the extreme, sometimes in the hallways and whatnot. Kate Delaney hanging with all of you coast to coast and everywhere in between. And, of course, bullying, punching, shoving, acts that physically hurt, bad rumors could lead to that as well, ganging up on others. And then there's cyberbullying, which is huge now. Mean texts and emails, instant messages. Remember the sad story about the girl who killed herself, and it turned out it was a woman down the street who was sending her the messages and breaking up and had set up a fake relationship via email. And there are sadly too many things like that happening. Nasty pictures that are being posted and messages and whatnot. So as I said, joining us now, thrilled to be joined with Barbara Calarosa, The Bully, The Bullied, and The Bystander is the name of her book. She knows this well. She speaks to it and tries to help people cope and give suggestions as to what to do. She joins us from Toronto. Barbara, we know you're on the road. Thanks for the time.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you, Kate.
Let's talk about first, truly, I tried to give some examples of bullying, but what do you think we're seeing more now as far as what a bully would be?
Well, I think we're finally recognizing that it isn't the physical bullying that is the first nor the most common. Verbal bullying, boys and girls do equally well, and it can pack a tremendous wallop. be an entree to the other two forms of bullying or combined with those two. Physical bullying is the least, and I'll guarantee you if any audience person has a child who's been physically bullied, I'll guarantee you that that child has been verbally and or relationally bullied first. If very few boys resort to physical bullying, although that is on the rise today. We see it a lot, but the verbal bullying and relational. Relational, girls don't tend to verbally, physically bully as much as boys, but they have in their social arsenal something far more powerful. And that's shunning rumor, gossip, and exclusion. And they use that to the hilt today because, as you mentioned, they use the latest tools and technology called cyberbullying. There's nothing wrong with a cell phone or the internet. It's how it's used. It's used to be mean and cruel when it's bullying.
Well, and you know, if we talk about schools themselves, there are tons. If you go on the internet, you'll see it. There's policies all over the place, and even the government tried to put a task force together. But with the schools having these so-called anti-bullying policies, do they really work?
Well, I dealt with a situation last May after four young boys, 11 years old, throughout this country, killed themselves within a two-week period after being repeatedly targeted by their peers. And one of the superintendents very boldly said on TV, but we have an anti-bullying program and it works. Well, it's not working if kids can torment a child to the point where that child can't take it anymore at 11 years old. It's good to have three P's. Strong anti-bullying policies is only step one, where you define bullying for what it is, and that may sound very simple, but it's not. The majority of anti-bullying programs in our country, when I began to write the book, startled me because they had as their foundation conflict resolution, and bullying is not a conflict. Bullying is about mean and cruel. Conflicts are normal and natural and necessary. Our job as wise and caring adults, be we educators or parents or coaches or neighbors, is to teach our young people to handle those conflicts nonviolently. But they're going to happen and they're very normal and natural. Mean and cruel is a learned behavior. You have to be taught to put somebody outside of your circle of caring, to treat them, as I call them, an it, to be less than the rest of us. So that's a learned behavior, and we have to first address it for what it is. And I identify it as a conscious, willful, deliberate, hostile activity intended to harm, where you get pleasure from somebody else's pain, whether it's verbal, physical, and or relational. The second P is strong anti-bullying procedures in place to deal with the bully, hold he or she accountable for what she's done, and help to reform the bully, but most importantly, to hold them accountable. Secondly, what procedures do we have in place to, one, keep a target safe, and two, give them skills to stand up for themselves? And then the third part of that second P is how do we handle all those bystanders? You know, there are three characters in this tragedy, the bully, the bullied, and the bystanders. William Burroughs, the English author, said it so beautifully, there are no innocent bystanders. What were they doing there in the first place? Most bystanders are helping the bullying along, whether they are the henchmen doing the bidding for the bully, actively supporting the bully, as we often see on the internet, other boys and girls cheering on the bullies harming somebody. Are they the passive bystanders where they laugh at somebody else's pain? They're not doing it, but they're laughing. Are they the disengaged onlookers who, by the way, can be you and me, Kate, who turn a blind eye and say, oh, it's just part of growing up. No, it's not. It's about mean and cruel. Or are they the potential witnesses? Those are the kids you and I raised to act with integrity and civility and compassion. But that child's afraid of the bully, afraid to step in, afraid they'll be next. Or do we have what I encourage in my rewriting and in my lectures, to raise young people who will stand up and speak out, who will step in and do the right thing when the burden's heavy? I mean, when that high-status middle school girl says to all the other girls, I don't like the new girl, and if you want to be in my group, you won't eat lunch with her either. I want your son or daughter to be that one to say, you know, that's mean, that's cruel, and have the courage to go sit next to the new girl at cost to themselves, because they'll probably get old Miss Goody Two-Shoes or you're next. And I want your son, when his friends say, look at that kid over there, different skin color, religion, or gender, or physical or mental ability. Let's go mess him up. I want your son to be the one to say no. When the burden's heavy, when his friends say, what are you, chicken? What are you, just like him? So how do you get kids to do that? That's the last P. Strong anti-bullying programs. And I'm not talking putting this program in school where once a week we talk about not bullying. I'm talking about using the stuff of everyday life to teach young people to treat one another with dignity and regard. I tell students, you don't have to like every kid in this classroom, but you must honor their humanity. You must not make them an it. They're a decent, caring human being, and you've got to treat them with dignity and regard.
Yeah, I think it's a huge problem from everything that I've heard. I mean, beyond, I think what people think, as you said, in their heads, like, they're just kids. And I've heard that from other people. They're just kids. Kids will be kids. They're too soft. They're too this, da, 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 da. And there's so much of that bystanding, especially that then it becomes that group mentality. Ooh, I'm shy. I'm in the fringe of this. I don't want to get involved. You probably that's one of the big ones.
It is. Actually, chances of your child being a bully or being targeted by one is far less than the chances of your child playing one of those many henchman roles or passive bystanders or cheering the bully on. And so we as parents and as educators, I'm both, have to be very much on the alert to teach young people about what you mentioned. And I call it the trap of comradeship, where when you get a group of kids together, and they begin to taunt a child, it very quickly escalates into the shunning and rumor and gossip and exclusion, and then can progress to the physical bullying. But all three of those hurt a child deeply. It puts a hole in their soul, so to speak. And I want to teach young people that if you're the target of bullying, you don't have to succumb to the bullying, that you can stand up. You can be your own witness and resistor and defender. But we've got to recognize as adults that young people can't stop this alone, that we have to be willing to say, no more, not here, never. When we're driving carpool, when all the girls start to laugh about something mean and cruel that another girl has done to that girl in the lunchroom or the locker room or the playground, can we say, no, not here? That is mean. That is cruel. Call it for what it is. And let kids know that they have an obligation, not necessarily to like that other girl, but to treat her with dignity and regard. It makes a difference when you can get locked into that trap of comradeship, or your daughter or son having the courage to stand up and speak out and step in may indeed stand alone, but often will not have others join them in a trap of comradeship. Instead, have others join them in a culture of kindness. And that's not sappy. It's not saying, oh, let's all be friends, but treating those other peers with some dignity and regard.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. Culture of kindness, I love it. Barbara Colarosa, The Bully, The Bullied, and The Bystander, pick it up. Good stuff, Barbara. We'll talk to you again, hopefully, down the road.
Thank you
so much for joining
Kate.
Us. Coming up on the flip side, more on Fort Hood. Stay with us.
What's so crazy about not starving?
To cover yourself and your family in the event of accidents or emergency, you may have home, life, auto, dental, and health insurance.
But what about food insurance?
Water and food are vital to human survival.
So what's so crazy about not starving?
Foodinsurance.com has designed emergency packs and kits with at least 2 weeks' worth of great-tasting food and clean water. Most Foodinsurance.com meals are freeze-dried,
which means they'll last and retain nutritional value up to 10 years.
Foodinsurance.com meals like lasagna, beef stroganoff, and other tasty entrees are quick, delicious, simple to prepare, and start at just $199.99.
The low cost is just one reason to get foodinsurance.com.
Need more reasons? Foodinsurance.com kits come with a lightweight, high-quality backpack and a free utensil tool. Go to foodinsurance.com or call 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. That's 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. Get protected at foodinsurance.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
You've heard the Get the Tea commercials, and many people like our commercials, but I did notice something. What the heck is a toxin? So, here it is. A toxin is a poisonous substance that is capable of causing disease when introduced into the body. Formaldehyde, from seat cushions and particle board. How about carbon monoxide, furnace-burning propane, butane, disinfectants, perfume, mouthwash, glues, air fresheners, pesticides, oh my gosh, even sugar is a toxin according to Dr. Lau. It's a very addictive drug. It's time to fight back. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can get your trusty cell phone out and call us at 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And put in your order today. Lose weight, feel good, and be free of all these toxins. GetTheTea.com.
I have owned every light you can think of, and my pack light is the one I refuse to leave home without.
That's what Jerry from Oregon said.
Your flashlights are the best. We bought some 3 years ago, and all three pack lights have gone through two hurricanes each, and they just keep going on and on.
And that's what Albert in Florida said about the amazing pack light. Pack light's multicolored caps come equipped with two high-powered LED lights, snap on to any 9-volt battery, and will last over 1,200 hours. Listen to what Jerry from Michigan said.
After carrying a pack light in my pants pocket for 2 years, it was bound to happen. The pants and the light went through the wash together, and it still works.
The pack light has a 25-year warranty, starts at just $12.99, and is an excellent gift idea. Order yours today at 9voltlight.com or call toll-free 877-715-4448. Use coupon code RADIO and receive free shipping. Be prepared with a pack light. Remember, 9voltlight.com or call 877-715-4448. 877-715-4448.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
So while the Senate sits on health care for now, the question in a different way, but as far as sitting on information is concerned, the big question is, did the Army sit on information about Major Hassan, who had problems when he was at Walter Reed, but then was promoted anyway to Major in May, and now look what has happened, 13 people dead and scores of others, of course, wounded. Some barely pulling through in that massacre at Fort Hood last week. Sad that we are on these airwaves talking about this because I think of the deep respect I have for people who have served in the military and those who are risking it all, putting it on the line for us. Yeah, for us. Veterans Day coming up on Wednesday. And young, 21, 24, and then older people in their 50s who had served over and over again, dead before they touched the ground in Afghanistan or Iraq, and here they were on U.S. soil. It's really still tough to wrap your brain around that. So it's putting the puzzle together, the investigative stage, as Major Hassan, now the word is that he can speak. So will he be charged? Of course he will, but the question becomes, when and how those pieces fall out, even a question of, you know, could he get the death penalty, et cetera. It's got to be military, I would assume. But was this a terroristic vibe in him? I don't think there's any question. There was some there is some certain truth to that. Absolutely. Now, at this point, it's clear. I mean, classmates are saying his loyalties weren't with America, that's exactly what they thought for the past, you know, however long, back to Walter Reed days, etc. And then, of course, here at Fort Hood. And this is the scary part, did Army officials or others sit on information about him because of trying to be politically correct? And you think of other people. I think, hey, what if I was a major in the military and I said some kooky, nutty, crazy things? How long do you think it would take for somebody to turn me over, turn me in? Some white Aryan crazy gets in and starts to spew a bunch of hatred things. How long before they're pulled out and off the base? And that, to me, is wrong. That's dead wrong if that's what happened here. Now, of course, what's happening is there's a lot of denials. No, that's not what happened, etc. Let me tell you what the latest is. Now, we're going to let you hear from a retired lieutenant colonel who I happen to catch on the tube. And by the way, we're going to have some interesting people on this show coming up, including another retired lieutenant colonel, to talk about safety on bases, etc. He'll join us tomorrow night, and then a terrorism expert will join us on Wednesday. But anyway, what happened at Fort Hood, the latest is of what they're saying as far as information on Major Hassan, because this is what we want to know. Did it fall through the cracks? How could this have fallen through the cracks? Now, Joe Lieberman said the other day they're going to, of course, run an investigation. They're going to question and want answers to find out exactly what people knew. And Congressman Pete Hoekstra, who is the ranking Republican on the House Intelligence Committee, and this isn't a surprise either, announced that he's asked the heads of the CIA and the FBI and the NSA to save all documents and anything connected to the attack at Fort Hood that killed the 13 and injured 29, and actually more than that, and pull that all together so that we can move forward and look at this critical information and why it was not released. Because here's what happened. He says that that what's happening is they're refusing to release it to Congress at this point and to the public. So, and we know this because many of us in the media have tried to get information. Of course, we're being stonewalled at every turn. Little things are leaking out here and there, but ultimately there are a lot of questions that aren't being answered. And the latest report, or the latest piece of information I heard, is that the intelligence agencies knew for months. We told you about the FBI, how they knew about some of the things that were spewed on websites, etc. But they knew for months that Major Malik Hassan was trying to contact people associated with al-Qaeda. Now, that's an even different twist in this. But it's very murky as to whether the agencies actually told the Army. Now, why wouldn't they tell the Army? If they knew for sure, they had some links, some solid links, not hearsay, nonsense, crap, whatever, but they had, and they did, they had intelligence. If they had intelligence, why would they not immediately approach the Army about that? Because you think of the access, besides what happened in Fort Hood, what could have happened, the access that he had on that base, but just in general access he had to information. Now, what I was told by somebody today is that the CIA had information relevant, and that they perhaps sat on it, right? But the word back from the CIA is that they didn't do that. So it's a little bit of we did, you did, you know, what did we know, what did we didn't know? I mean, everybody's posturing. That's what it is. Because there's going to be this investigation, and there's going to have to be some people that answer some questions as to why it was not known. Senator Dianne Feinstein, who heads the Select Committee on Intelligence, of course, said that she was contacted by the Director of National Intelligence and is going to get a bigger briefing, because the information, like I said, is very scattered. Whether it's media-wise trying to dig it up, et cetera, or obviously any of the people on the Hill trying to do the same thing. I mean, the Army has to have zero tolerance, right? They have to have it. And if there are these strong warning signs that there was, whether he wasn't his whole life, but suddenly he had flipped to become an Islamist extremist, there's no way that kind of a person can serve in our military. Let's be real about this. I mean, the impact of this and now what's happened at Fort Hood. And, of course, a lot of people are urging, urging others not to rush to any kind of conclusions. We let you hear that yesterday, what the Army Chief of Staff, General George Casey, said. But I think there are a lot of people that would disagree with that now based on some of the information that we have. Once again, it's the PC police. So take a listen to this. I think you'll be surprised at what you hear here. This is retired Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters. This was his take on the PC police at work.
I think we've been a lot too politically correct. And you even see it now with General George Casey, the Army Chief of Staff, addressing this issue at Fort Hood as though it's a traffic accident. He won't even use the word terrorism, let alone Islamist terrorism. The Army's been afflicted by political correctness for a long time. I love the Army. It's my old service. But I will tell you this. If this nutcase, this Mike Foxtrot in Army terms, had been a white supremacist, he would have been gone long ago, as he should have been. But because he was a protected species, a sort of a one-off Muslim psychiatrist officer, he got a pass again and again. Proselytizes Islam with returning vets. Oh, welcome home, guys and gals. Argues with his peers about the injustice of our wars abroad. Gives a lecture on the duty of Muslims to kill, to behead infidels. He runs around in his Islamist play suit in Central Texas. And he logs on to websites. Reportedly, this guy is praising suicide bombers on the web. He buys weapons and goes in and shoots 51, it was 51 total, unarmed people, 13 dead. And we're told not to rush to judgment that, well, it really might have nothing to do with Islam. It's not really terrorism. Give me a break. No, they were dancing. His chain of command at Fort Walter Reed and at Fort Hood need to be called before the panel Senator Lieberman has promised to hold on the Hill. And also, Senator Lieberman needs to call the officers who sat on Major Hassan's promotion board. He was just promoted to major in May after all the problems he had at Walter Reed Hospital. And under oath, Senator Lieberman needs to ask him why they promoted this guy, and he needs to ask the chains of command why they let him slide. Now, my personal view, based on my military experience, is they're afraid to take him on because Hassan would have countercharged discrimination, and instead of getting rid of Hassan, the officer who brought up the allegation against him would have seen his or her career ruined. Mm. We are really sick with political correctness. But, Neil, it's okay. Not just the Army. Let me lay on quickly into the media handling of poor Major Hassan. You've heard that this guy, oh, he was poor. He was living in a $320 a month rat bag apartment, driving a dinky car. I mean, Neil, this guy with his pro pay, his military pay, his benefits, was making the equivalent of a six-figure income. No journalist has asked where that money was going.
Good
he didn't
point,
have a wife, no
good
kids,
point.
No debts.
All right.
Pursuit, follow the money.
All right. I say that all the time on this show. I learned that clearly when I was in New York doing a radio show and we saw what happened to the Twin Towers. I mean, it was all about the money. Who was pumping money into the country and how the money got into the hands of those that, of course, ended up ripping our lives apart and killing 3,000 people. So that still stands in this war on terrorism. It is about the money, ultimately. But wait till you hear this next twist I'm going to tell you about and a big presentation that Major Hassan gave in 2007 at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center and how stunned a lot of the people were, including supervisors and some other mental health staff members, as he lectured on Islam and talked about suicide bombers and threats the military could encounter from Muslims conflicted about fighting in Muslim countries, Iraq and Afghanistan. Again, more information on that. Pretty enlightening stuff coming up in just a second here on ATN.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to grapeseed plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes for Women, fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low-cost online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996, RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grape Seed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
Cyrus Jones, 1810 to 1913, made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones lived forever, grave digger. When you dig my grave, could you make it shallow?
So appropriate that tune is for what we're talking about here on America Tonight. Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney's my name. The show again, America Tonight, coast to coast, and all the nook and crannies in between across this great country. Of course, Wednesday is Veterans Day, and just ahead of the curve, thank you very much for everybody who served. Today, when I went to the store, I happened to notice in my neighborhood, I thought it was great. All of a sudden, all these flags were out on poles in front of people's houses and whatnot. And we can't stress enough on the show for all the people who have served and have gone through many peaks and valleys and what they've had to do when they've come back and some of the things that they've seen. Many of the people that we've had on this show, like young Michael Anthony, who's written a book about what it was like to be a medic and see the horrible things that he saw, and then to also have many of the people he served with not being able to deal with the horrible post-traumatic stress syndrome that they go through and come back and end up killing themselves because they could not handle it. Now, this was something that Major Malik Hassan was dealing with as an Army psychiatrist, and if we wind the clock back, because now a lot of information with this investigation that's going on all over the place, everybody trying to get information. Here was the word from at his old post when he was at Walter Reed. He actually gave a presentation in 2007 where he talked specifically to a room saying that there, because of what's happening, they should allow Muslim soldiers to be released as conscientious objectors instead of fighting in wars against other Muslims. And this was what Hassan was saying. He was supposed to make a presentation on a medical topic of his choosing. It was part of the residency thing. Then he got up in front of about 25 other mental health staff members and supervisors and whatnot and lectured instead on Islam and the suicide bombers, as I mentioned, and threats that the military could encounter from Muslims conflicted about fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the presentation, in fact, was the Washington Post got the information, and they printed a bunch of what he said in that presentation. And of course, he started off saying it's getting harder and harder for Muslims in the service to justify being in a military that seems constantly engaged against fellow Muslims. And staff members who were there thought they were going to hear something medical about some kind of condition, a mental health condition, etc. And that's not what they heard at all. They said it was very, very strange. And a lot of the doctors apparently were pretty upset. And this was what everybody was doing. All the other residents were doing medical presentations. And they did it, you know, on an afternoon each week. And other students had lectured on medications and treatments of specific mental illnesses because they, of course, see a ton of that in coming back and soldiers who have served in the past, etc. So instead, the entire presentation dealt with nothing of such any of that stuff, anything to do with medications or trials or dealing with people in certain conditions or whatever. But here's the thing. So he's a resident. He gets up. Every other person has come up and done something specifically on the topic. He gets up and says that. And it seems as though it's unclear as to whether anybody who was there, and I guarantee they're going to find that nobody did, nobody briefed anybody in counterintelligence, etc., or maybe said to a higher up in the military. It was kind of weird. This major comes in and everybody's talking about the effects of different drugs that we're handing out, etc. He gets up and he starts to rail about, maybe we ought to think about Muslims not serving in this war, and completely off anything that anybody would have addressed. So he spent 6 years at that hospital, Walter Reed, as an intern, then a resident, then a fellow. And that started back in 2003. And as the story goes, he's transferred to Fort Hood. He's a practicing psychiatrist in July. He was supposed to leave for Afghanistan. We all know this. And was Afghanistan, because there was reports that it was Iraq. It was Afghanistan. And he asked not to be deployed. Whether he ever sought conscientious objector status, that's unknown at this point. I asked somebody today, I tried to find that out, but of course, again, you know, just little information is trickling out. So no, I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think so. But, did he ask whether or not he could just quit the service, not be deployed, whatever, obviously with his rank and his medical training, it would, and given what the service obligation is, it obviously would not be allowed to resign. So they're looking into the whole religious beliefs and whether he had these truly extremist views, which I think is pretty obvious in some of the things that we've said here as to where he stood on that. And then the question becomes, was he in contact with other people who may have encouraged violence against U.S. troops? Because that's the second part of this deal. By the way, the presentation was titled, the one that Hassan did, was The Quranic Worldview as it Relates to Muslims in the U.S. Military. And there was 50 different slides in this. And all the things that I mentioned, basically the gist of it, how that the Muslims shouldn't be serving in the military. And that's what the presentation was on when he was a resident. So you can see then ultimately there were problems at Walter Reed. He gets a promotion to major and gets bounced to Fort Hood. And then if he was lecturing on that, back in 2007. I mean, ultimately, that would be the final nail in the coffin. He is going to get deployed to Afghanistan. So you can imagine what was going on at that point. Let's hope. I mean, I hope that he comes very, very clean and confesses to whatever. Here's what led me to this, the true motivation, and goes through everything that he thought and what the process was to get a better handle from the horse's mouth exactly on what happened, exactly what happened here. I mean, this is just awful, awful stuff, and I'm getting a slew of emails from many of you, and you can certainly send me your thoughts on this, whatever you feel, americatonight.net. And you heard that retired lieutenant colonel where he said, listen, some people in the media are portraying it as, oh, so sad. He lived in this rundown apartment building, had a crappy car. But really, at his rank, and I'm glad that colonel pointed it out, he was making good money. And he was making great money, probably more than many, many people listening to this show. So you can't, I don't think you can go down that road with this one at all. It's about the victims. What leads him to do that? And what about the victims in this? What do you say to the families still? I mean, it hasn't even been a week. There's going to be a big memorial celebration. I'm going to call it a celebration because that's what you have to do at this point, celebrating the lives of the people who no longer have their lives because he opened fire on them. And that's happening at Fort Hood on Tuesday. So you can bet that there's a lot of people will obviously be in attendance there and to get a better insight into the lives of these people. Because at that point, you have to think about the people themselves, put the faces, not just numbers of how many people were killed in this massacre, but what were their backgrounds? What did they do? And I'm glad they're doing this. It's not a surprise because, of course, they should do it. And of course, they were going to do that. But to go through and talk about the 13 and, what their lives were like and what they were interested in and whatever to sort of give a better sense to the families with friendship and whatnot as to what their lives meant, let's face it, because so many of them were such very, very young people, and that is just the crime, I think, in all of this. When you're talking about the age and the risk and what they were going off to do, to go to Afghanistan or Iraq, wow. So it becomes the trail of who could have possibly stopped the major, who could have raised their hand, been politically incorrect and said, listen, something's just not right here. Maybe it could have been stopped, and that is the sad, sad thing in this whole deal. I'm going to leave you with this, something I dug up from Confucius, who said, to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal lives. We must first set our hearts right. Amen.